Taking a moment, he applied his retribution buff before he threw a copper at one of the guards. It glanced off the skeleton, who took a step toward him before returning to its starting spot, and the single point of damage dealt to it healed. Sighing, Albert made sure he had a good grip on his staff as he ran into the room and swung it at the one on the right. The staff thunked off the skull soundly, and Albert noted the 32 damage done to it as both guards turned to attack him. Albert was suddenly glad he used to work out at the dojo closest to his home. The staff felt familiar in his hands as he wove his attacks while trying to mitigate the damage done to him. The skeletons didn't go for any advanced tactics, standing side by side and swinging their clubs at him. That made things easier for Albert, as he concentrated on the one he'd attacked first, shifting around his opponents. The fight was mostly uninteresting, as the skeletons never tried to flank him, allowing him to kill one, leveling as he did, then the other with only a few wounds to show for it. This should be almost over, he figured. This would be the entrance area. Maybe a gated yard out the other set of double doors leading from this room, but that should be it. A very basic layout for an intake area. But this one should be inside a gated compound connected to the main jail. The skeleton's loot only consisted of two unwieldy clubs, so he left them alone as they weren't worth any coin. Taking a minute, he dropped his points into Constitution before he glanced at his new spell. Summon Least Imp. Mana cost 10% of total mana pool while minion is active. Duration, until dismissed. Allows the summoner to summon a least imp to his side. Least imps assist the summoner by casting small fire blasts at visible foes. Albert looked over the motions and words needed and blinked as there were two noted. The other one was listed as original use of spell, only used once and costing no mana. Shrugging, Albert mimed opening a book and spoke the words for first-time use. I summon the Infernal Retinue Society to aid me in my choosing of a minion. He chuckled as he finished the words, as no one would summon the IRS and expect actual help. A glowing red pentagram appeared on the floor and began to blaze with hellish light. Stepping back slightly, Albert watched as a bipedal toad appeared inside the circle. It glanced at Albert before perching a pair of spectacles on its face.
Ah, a first-timer. Greetings to you, summoner. I'm Betzel, the assistant tasked with picking the infernal best suited to assist you. You are looking for a least imp, correct?
Greetings, Betzel. I am indeed trying to find the least imp that will be my helper.
Well, lucky for you, we have a few to pick from. Your choice can never be changed, so pick wisely.
The toad gestured, and four ID pictures with stats appeared in the air before Albert. Each of them showed a least imp, an orange-red creature, 2 feet tall, with pointed tail, small stubby wings on its back, and long claws on its hands. Its face was sharp and angled with a lot of sharp needle teeth in its mouth. They each seemed identical in image, so he looked at the relevant info to make his choice. They each only had 2 strength, 4 agility, 5 constitution, and 3 charisma. But their intelligence and wisdom were different, along with another rating listed on each of them. Loyalty.
Betzel, what does the loyalty rating denote?
Albert asked, as he couldn't get a pop-up tool tip on what it was for.
It merely tells you how easy or hard it will be for you to gain happiness with the creature. Hardly worth noting. Most summoners are very content to take the most apt creature that is available. None of them have ever voiced issue with the one they chose, to my knowledge.
The toad said while adjusting its glasses. Albert recalled Vicky telling him differently, that loyalty was very important. Sadly, that would mean taking the imp with the worst stats. The one with loyalty of very status had only 8 intelligence and wisdom. The one with the worst loyalty rating of not had 20s in both stats. Chewing his lip, he had to decide whether to trust Vicky's advice or to take the obvious numerical advantage. Shaking his head, he hoped he was right and picked the one with the best loyalty rating.
Interesting pick, to choose the weakest imp. Oh well, it's your business, Summoner. Best of luck to you, and I'll see you when you learn how to summon your next infernal.
With that, the toad took off its glasses and snapped its fingers, vanishing as the sound faded. Looking back at how to normally summon his imp, Alberic did the spell instructed. He held a hand out level, palm down next to him, and spoke the words.
Your master calls you forth.
A bright flash and puff of smoke happened, and when it cleared, a small imp stood there.
Greetings, my master. Thank you for choosing me. What is my name to be?
The imp asked, looking up at Alberic.
What is your name normally?
The imp chuckled, then spoke briefly in a gut-wrenching voice in some language that Alberic didn't understand.
That is why we normally take the name given us by our master while we are under his or her command.
The imp smirked up at him.
Noted. I take it that was your native tongue?
The imp nodded but remained silent.
Okay. I'll call you Bob.
Bob shall be my name then, master.
Bob replied with a toothy grin.
What are we doing?
Escaping this place is our first business. Then we shall try to find a town or city.
Alberic replied.
Oh, question. What does your loyalty mean exactly?
An infernal's loyalty is tied to how happy we are. The more loyal we are, the faster we become happy. While the inverse is also true. The less loyal we are, the faster we lose happiness. The happier we are, the more we do for our master. The less happy we are, the more we rebel. Getting us killed or treating us badly lowers our happiness. Treating us well increases our happiness.
Alberic chuckled inwardly, thinking back to games in the past that used similar systems. So sacrificing the imp to run away would be a drawback, as it would lower the happiness of the imp.
So if I die, what happens to you?
I return to my home plane until summoned again, but I do not lose any happiness.
What is your happiness currently at?
Neutral. There are 7 levels of happiness. Hated, upset, discontent, neutral, content, respected, revered,
Bob said, looking slightly bored.
I see this is going to take me some time to learn. Oh well, let's get going and you can help me learn as we go.
I'm glad to have you by my side, Bob,
Alberic said as he stepped to the doors that should lead them out. A pop-up flashed in front of him. And after glancing at it, he paused to discontinue that pop-up through the menu. +1 happiness for Bob. He left alone the one that would tell him when the minion shifted to a different level of happiness, but that was all.
Oh, almost forgot,
Alberic murmured, stopping to slap his hands together.
Retribution.
Then pressed his hand to Bob's head.
Now you're buffed. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into.
He repeated the process for himself and pulled the doors open. A misty courtyard with a weak sun greeted his eyes, with billows of cloud wafting slowly through the space before him. The only notable detail were the 30-foot walls just barely visible at times when a gap in the mist opened.
Obscuring mist, Bob said. To have such a large effect, the caster would have to be very powerful.
Pursing his lips, Alberic shook his head. It wasn't like he had a choice if he really wanted his freedom.
Hopefully they aren't hanging about. Let's find the gate and get out.
Bob followed him down the few steps to the cobbled road that came to the front of the building. Following the road on the premise that it would lead to a way out seemed like a good idea. After a few hundred feet, they came to a massive gate on their right. Studying it, Alberic noted that it looked like it led further into the complex.
I don't think we should go that way,
Alberic said, turning to follow the road again. Another few hundred feet brought them to a mammoth double door with a smaller single door set in it.
"This might be it," Alberic said,
when a large figure lumbered out of the mist. Stepping back from the figure saved Alberic a lot of pain, as a two-handed sword came through the space he had just been in. Alberic locked onto the figure, finding a level 6 skeleton gate guard in rusty chainmail shirt, attacking him with 500 out of 500 health. Tossing the torch at the skeleton, as it was no longer needed, Alberic took his staff in hand and swung at the guard. The blow connected with the chain, and only turned up a single point of damage.
"Bob could use some help here,"
Alberic said, as he ducked the next swing from the guard. A small globe of fire splashed onto the guard's unprotected legs, doing 21 damage. That caused the skeleton to turn toward Bob, who was already starting to cast another fire blast. As the skeleton turned, Alberic swung the staff into an overhead attack and brought it down firmly on the guard's skull. The critical to the unprotected head of the mob recorded 32 damage and made the mob turn back to Alberic. Unfortunately for Alberic, the attack had put him a little off balance, so the skeleton's attack as it turned caught him in the side and threw him back a few feet. Gasping, Alberic winced at having a small truck hit him, costing him 24 health, as well as leaving a gash in his side that coincided with the debuff bleeding, which caused 10% of the wound's initial damage every 6 seconds for 1 minute. Another fire blast hit the skeleton in the legs, but the skeleton kept advancing on Alberic. Straightening back up, Alberic waited for the mob and was barely able to parry the next attack. The mob had way more strength than he did, which meant he could easily be overpowered. Dancing back to give himself some more room, Alberic saw another fire blast catch the creature again in the legs. This time, the guard turned towards Bob and started to advance on the imp, raising its sword as it went. Alberic stepped forward quickly, thrusting the staff like a spear into the back of the mob's head. He was again rewarded with a critical strike, taking another 32 health off the mob, which made it pivot and bring the sword down in a vicious strike aimed at him. His attempted parry was useless against the strength of the mob. He took 48 points of damage and was knocked prone. The guard slammed its sword down at Alberic, who twisted away to avoid being hit in the head again. The attack connected with his side instead, gashing him again and adding a second bleed. Rolling to try and get some distance, he lost the staff in the process as he got to his feet. Alberic pulled out the dagger, wincing in pain as the two bleeding wounds ticked away. He didn't want to fight a two-handed sword with a dagger, but unless he could get back to his staff, it was a lost cause. Two more fire blasts hit the mob, making it turn again to Bob, who looked slightly panicked.
"I'm starting to run low on mana, master,"
the imp squeaked. Putting the dagger away as he ran, Alberic grabbed the staff and went after the guard again, gauging how close this fight was going to be. The mob was at 330 out of 500, while he was at 180 out of 300, and losing a bit at a time due to the bleeds. Bob ran from the guard, dodging as best he could and hoping that Alberic would regain the skeleton's attention. Alberic dug out the health potion and downed it, blinking as his health was restored and the bleed debuffs went away. 230 out of 300 was much better than the previous total, and made his pain subside a great deal. Just as the guard swung at Bob, Alberic was able to strike the blade, making it go high.
"Run for it until it attacks me again,"
Alberic said, stepping back and preparing to attack the mob again. Bob darted past Alberic in a funny half-skip kind of run. The mob ignored Alberic, going after the imp again, and as it turned its back on Alberic, he slammed the staff right into the unprotected knee of the skeleton. 32 damage and a debuff appeared on the skeleton, crippled. It began to turn back to Alberic, who backed away from it, noticing it was limping on the damaged leg as it followed him.
"Bob, hit it in the head if you can, otherwise go for the legs,"
Alberic cried out as he dodged the first attack from the skeleton.
"I can only cast another couple of spells, master,"
Bob said, as he launched another fire blast at the guard, this time hitting it in the head and taking off 42 life.
Okay, do what you can, Alberich said, as he tried to parry again, but missed and took the sword to the ribs again, which flung him back and into the double doors.
Fuck!
Alberich hissed, knowing he had just run out of room to maneuver. The next fire blast came in, clipping the skeleton's head and causing it to turn back to Bob as another 42 health came off of it. Breathing a partial sigh of relief, Alberich followed the skeleton but held his attack. 214 out of 500 was what the mob had left, while Alberich was sitting at 108 out of 300.
Last one,
Bob called out, using its last bit of mana to take another 42 health off the guard.
Dodge it as best you can. It will take me a moment to pull it off you,
Alberich called out, hoping he could get two or three attacks in before it turned on him again.
Too bad retribution wore off before we reached the gate,
he wheezed to himself as he pulled the staff back to hit the mob. The staff connected with the other knee this time, again doing 32 damage and adding a second counter to the cripple debuff. Its speed was now halved as it limped after Bob. Smiling at the fact they might pull this off after all, Alberich brought the staff around into the first knee again, just as the mob was getting close enough to attack the imp, who had paused to wheeze for breath. The attack was enough to pull aggro back to Alberich, who realized it as the skeleton spun with the sword whistling in an arc as it did. The blow hit him again in the ribs and launched him 20 feet back and causing him to bleed again. Gasping, Alberich climbed to his feet shakily, hoping he could land three more attacks before this thing killed him. The guard limped toward him, its sword cocked back and ready to attack when it got into range. Alberich watched it, judging the probable attack, and hoped he was right. As it took the last two steps to get into range, Alberich darted forward, going into a shoulder roll on the sword side of the skeleton. He hoped the skeleton wouldn't be able to bring the sword straight down as easily as it could have across. The tumble worked as the skeleton didn't swing, but turned around to reacquire him. Alberich came to his feet and swung the staff, again catching the skeleton in the knees. Alberich hadn't expected the skeleton to turn as quickly as it did with the debuffs, though, and found himself flying back again from a kick that did another 5 damage to him. He landed in a lump next to Bob.
Not very good at this, are you?
Bob asked.
I didn't run out of mana, Alberich wheezed, getting back to his feet. 2 more hits should do it, but that might also land me back at my starting point.
Bob chuckled.
You can do it!
He stepped back quickly behind Alberich as the skeleton came into range again. Alberich cursed softly and slammed the staff like a spear into the thing's skull, just before the sword slammed into his ribs, flinging him away again and adding another stack of that damnable bleed. Gasping in pain, Alberich tried to climb to his feet to meet the guard as it trudged towards him.
You done?
Bob asked with a hint of laughter to its voice.
You're still alive. Come on, be a man.
Hissing in pain, Alberich got to his feet and glared at the imp.
Next time you can tank.
Bob shook a finger at him.
Not a good plan. If I tank, I can't do this.
With that, it launched another fire blast at the skeleton's head, killing it. Alberich slumped back to the ground and flipped the imp off.
Fucker! How long did you hold that?
Bob skipped over to Alberich.
I got the mana for another blast right when you landed in your last heap. I do recover mana during combat, just not fast enough to be an endless supply of damage.
Alberich breathed out in relief as the pain faded away, when the last bleed fell off, leaving him at 5 out of 300, and he started to regain health. Once he was healed up, he stood.
Well, we won. I never would have stood a chance without you. So even with the snark, thank you.
Bob dipped a shallow bow with a laugh.
We aim to serve.
Let's loot him and see if we can get the gate open.
Alberich crossed to the mob and looted the corpse. The rusty, damaged chainmail shirt gave 14 armor, but it was red to him when examined, which meant he couldn't equip it. He set it aside and checked the sword, a pitted, rusty greatsword,
which did 25 damage and was also red to him. The only other thing on the mob was a key for a small door in the gate. As both of the rusty items were only worth a handful of copper, he considered leaving them, then smirked. He pulled all the femurs out of his bag and tried to put the blade into the bag. It disappeared, just like the bag that belonged to Mary Poppins. Laughing, he put the chainmail inside as well. These, at least, were worth coin, unlike the femurs.
"Okay, we got us a key. Let's see what happens,"
Alberic said, as he walked towards the gate, with Bob trailing along behind him. As he inserted the key and turned the lock, he was frozen in place. A look at his bar told him he had a new debuff. Paralyzed. A dark laugh rang out behind him.
"So, one of the intakes survived my spell even after all these years. How interesting. Where did you think you were going exactly?"
An invisible force pulled Alberic around, so he could see a person clad in dark robes with silver filigree standing a few feet away from him. Finding himself able to speak, Alberic replied,
"To civilization, I had hoped. I don't know who you are or what's going on, but at this point I was just hoping to get out."
The only part of the man Alberic could see was the pale chin and dark goatee, as the mage spoke on.
"So freedom is your only goal, then?"
"Pretty much was the only one I had since I woke up," Alberic replied, wondering why the dev team would put this kind of event in here.
"I am willing to let you go, and will even send you to a city, if you can give me anything of value to make up for all the damage you've caused me."
The man smirked, clearly figuring Alberic had nothing of value.
"I would kind of need to be able to move," Alberic said, at which point the debuff vanished.
"Thanks,"
Alberic muttered, and pulled two items he had that might be worth anything, the books out of his bag.
"Either of these catch your eye?"
The man paused, cocking his head to the side, a smile forming on his lips.
"I've been looking for that tome for some time now. To think it was held in the intake wing." "Yes, I will take the slim tome in your right hand. Just toss it to me, please."
Alberic gently underhanded the book, spine first, to the dark-clothed man.
"Glad to do business with you. So, about me leaving."
The man flipped the book open and began to laugh the crazed laugh of the truly demented, and Alberic suddenly had a bad feeling about what he had done.
"Enjoy the world while you can. It will be ending sooner than you think."
The man snapped his fingers, and a wave of blackness enveloped Alberic. In the darkness, multiple notifications popped up before his eyes. Alberic read through them, shaking his head. The last one made him sigh.
"Fucking devs. Gonna pin whatever happens on me, I just know it."
Quest completed. Escape the Forgotten Prison. Receive 2,000 XP. Quest completed. Find a person who wants the Eldritch Book. Receive 20,000 XP. Congratulations on completing your tutorial. You are now being transferred to the regular starting city for humans. You have achieved multiple levels. Would you like to adjust your stats before you appear?
Alberic declined. He wanted to find a trainer before he added more numbers to himself. He felt a trainer would be able to give him a better understanding of how he should build himself. He shook his head over the fact that he had just jumped from level 3 to level 6. The darkness vanished, and he found himself standing before a massive stone wall. 50 feet away were the gates standing wide open, large enough for 4 wagons abreast, with 4 guards standing watch. As he took in the sight, one of the guards turned to him, drawing his sword.
"Summoner, you are not allowed to have your minions present while in the city," the guard said firmly.
standing his ground and holding the sword ready.
"Bob, I think you should go for a bit," Alberic said, eyeing the level 80 guard.
Nodding, Bob vanished in a puff of smoke. As the imp vanished, the guard sheathed his sword.
"Remember not to summon them inside the walls, or you will end up in the stockades."
Alberic nodded once and stepped over to the guard cautiously.
"A question, if I may, sir. Where can I find others of my kind?"
The guard sneered.
"Filth like you is in the gutter. Move along before I arrest you for causing a disturbance."
Blinking, Alberic walked into the city, marveling at the degree of animosity the guard had shown just because he was a summoner. The standard capital city stretched out all around him. Buildings of white stone stood gleaming in the sunlight, with cobblestone streets and street signs at each corner.
"Maybe someone else can direct me to where summoners hang out," Alberic said softly, as he walked down the main road.
Alberic, human summoner, level 6. Strength, 5. Agility, 5. Constitution, 15. Intelligence, 15. Wisdom, 15. Charisma, 20. 15 points to distribute. Health, 450. Mana, 450. Spells. Demon Skin, rank 2. Demonic Retribution. Summon Least Imp. Fire Blast. Abilities. None. One ability to train. See your trainer. Stormguard. As he walked down the street, he noted the lack of names, status bars, or anything similar over the heads of those moving around on the street. He focused on a small child to get targeting info. William McDonald, level 1, 60 out of 60 health. There was nothing to indicate whether the child was a player or NPC, though, which he found a little odd. Stopping next to a wall, Alberic leaned against it and watched the street for a bit. Among the people walking, he could see people running as well. Chuckling, he realized these were probably players, because no one walked in games. He focused on one of the runners. Arctic Breath, level 3, 200 out of 200 health. Alberic laughed, knowing that had to be a player. No NPC in any game he'd ever heard of would have a name like that. He targeted a few more people, and came to understand how to easily tell the difference. NPCs had surnames, while players only had a first name or two names smashed together with no space between them. Shaking his head, he pushed off the wall and started walking again. No need to run, since he had all the time he could possibly want, after all. As he walked, he noticed some people giving him distasteful looks and wondered why. He ducked his head down, thinking, and scratched his chin. As he did, he noticed his hand. The leathery reddish skin forced him to sigh. He wondered how to remove a buff early, and a pop-up appeared asking if he wanted to remove his demon skin. With his acceptance, his skin reverted to normal. After a few more blocks, he noticed that he'd stopped getting looks from people. With another sigh, he wondered where he needed to go to find a trainer, more so since his class clearly wasn't loved in town. He paused again, thinking about his options, when he noticed a young man sidling up behind an old woman in a very smooth manner. Narrowing his eyes, Alberic watched the thief deftly reach out and cut the strings, tying a small purse to her belt. The thief took the purse and spun on his heel, walking towards Alberic while moving away from his victim. Shaking his head, Alberic waited where he was as the thief approached his position. Just then, the woman started to swear like a sailor as she realized her purse had been stolen. Alberic let the thief go by before spinning and grabbing him in a rear naked choke, slamming the thief into a nearby wall.
"Lady, over here!"
Alberic called out loudly as the thief dropped the coin purse and tried to break the hold. People on the street were looking over, but giving Albert and his captive plenty of room. The woman strode over, her eyes flashing. A moment later, a whistle shrilled from the other direction and two guards came running up. The thief had stopped struggling, passing out from the chokehold, so Albert eased the unconscious man to the ground.
"What is the meaning of this?"
the older of the two guards demanded.
"I observed this person cutting this woman's purse from her belt. He then started moving towards me, so I waited, and subdued him until a guard could come and claim him. I hailed her after I had this man locked up, at which point she and you converged on me,"
Albert said, then nudged the purse with his foot.
"Your purse, I believe, madam."
She snatched it up.
"It is indeed. Monogrammed with my initials, a gift from my late husband. You have my deepest thanks, kind sir. Let me give you a reward for getting my purse back to me."
Albert held up a hand.
"No need to. I can't stand by and watch a cut purse take someone's things."
The guard cleared his throat.
"If you would come with us, sir, we will need you to swear a statement at the station."
"Glad to, officer."
Albert smiled, glad he was able to once again be viewed positively by a police-type person. "He'll wake up shortly," Albert began as the thief stirred. The second guard slapped manacles onto the thief and hauled him to his feet.
"Up you come, sunshine. We're taking a walk to the stockades, we are."
The old lady spoke up again.
"Sir, might I at least have your name, so when I tell my friends, I can properly tell them who my hero was?"
"Albert is my name, ma'am," Albert said, watching as the guards waited for the thief to be able to stand on his own.
"You are in terrible need of a new outfit, Albert. Let me give you a small token of thanks so you can remedy that issue."
She held out a largish silver coin engraved with an elaborate insignia with a smile. Albert gave her a small bow and accepted the coin.
"Far be it from me to disagree with a lady. I thank you again, ma'am, and I wish you a pleasant day."
He turned with the guards following them as they guided the thief between them. He glanced back to see the old lady smiling as she watched them go.
"Right charmer you are,"
the older guard chuckled.
"Old Lady Theron is a bit of a miser. For her to give that coin away is almost unheard of."
"But she is right.
Your clothes are horrible.
I have to admit, I'm curious as to how you disabled this here thief so easily."
"Rear naked choke. Simple unarmed maneuver. Easy to do when the opponent isn't expecting it and you're behind them."
Albert shrugged as he explained.
"Might I get you to show me how you manage that when we get to the station?"
Quest: teach the guard. Reward: increased reputation with Storm Guard's guards.
Chuckling, Albert nodded. "Be more than happy to. I know a few different maneuvers you can pick up easily."
The rest of the walk was in silence as they wound through the city. They passed a small cemetery next to an inn, and Albert made a note of it. If he were a necromancer, he would think that inn a prime place to set up. He made plans to check thereafter to see if he could get help finding the summoner area. Right after the graveyard, they passed by a number of temples built in all manner of shapes and sizes. The largest one showed a depiction of a large man in full plate holding a flaming sword above his head. Past that were more temples, tapering off again in size, until they reached a very large square building.
"The stockades,"
the elder guard said, at Albert's questioning look. They went around the corner of it onto another street, and in the distance Albert could see the guards stationed at a gate set into the wall.
"We hold the accused and the convicted inside these walls on order of the king."
"So a guard station and jail all in one place,"
Albert said, as they passed the guard on the gate, who eyed him with scornful eyes. Albert wondered if looking like a vagrant was the reason, but let it roll off him. He did note that a few other people were coming and going in the courtyard as well. They entered the main building, passing more guards on duty by the door, to enter a very large room. Desks were scattered through the room, most of them occupied. Various other people bustled around the room. Following the two guards, Albert ended up in the back of the room before a gray-haired matron who looked like she could chew nails. Staying back until asked to comment, Albert just watched with a sense of nostalgia, thinking back on his old job. When asked, he gave his statement about the incident, which the matron wrote down before having him sign at the bottom. She thanked him, and two very large men came over and took the accused from the two street guards as she dismissed them all.
"Tough lady,"
Albert said, as he followed the guards back into the courtyard.
"Oh, that she is. When she was younger, it said she broke up a riot by herself. When the other guards got there, she was the only one left standing. Granted, she was swaying a bit, but she was still standing."
The younger guard laughed. "Looks like she could chew iron and spit daggers," Albert agreed. "So about me showing you the choke, where are we going?" The older guard pointed to a small building inside the walls.
"Over there. Inside is the training room."
Once they reached the building, the older guard excused himself for a moment, ducking into an office as the younger guard led Albert into the big central room. A minute later, the older guard came in, followed by a middle-aged man who had an impressive collection of scars on his face.
"Albert, this here is our chief trainer, Captain Martinez Roberto,"
the guard said by way of introduction. Captain Roberto eyed Albert before shaking hands, nodding at the firm grip.
"My man said you had a way of subduing a thief quickly and easily. If you wouldn't mind showing it to me?"
"Not a problem," Albert said, setting his bag and weapon aside.
"Can I get one of you to volunteer?"
The younger guard took off his helm but kept his chainmail on.
"I'll do it."
"Okay. We'll do this at full speed first. And once you wake up, I'll walk you all through it,"
Albert said, limbering up.
"What I need you to do is walk past me."
The young guard nodded and backed up a few feet before walking by Albert. The other two watched as Albert spun behind the guard and caught him in the choke. He saw a debuff appear on the guard, strangulation that he hadn't noticed on the thief earlier. Albert then turned the younger man around to show the other two the hold from the front.
"Rear naked choke. It's very effective as long as the person doesn't expect you to grab them from behind."
He gently set the young man down once he stopped struggling. "He'll wake up in a few moments."
Interesting. Where did you learn this technique?"
Roberto asked with real interest in his voice.
"I'm an adventurer. We pick these things up." "Ah, that would explain it. You lot are quite peculiar indeed,"
Roberto said, nodding just as the young man groaned, coming back to his senses.
"Once he's on his feet, I'll walk you through how to apply the hold. I can also show you another submission takedown or two, if you want."
"Yes, but let me grab another couple of men," Roberto said,
walking out of the room quickly. The next hour, Albert taught the guards some self-defense tactics, just like he used to do back at his old job.
"That should give you something to work with, besides having to use the clubs,"
Albert said with a grin.
"I thank you very much,"
Roberto said, his grim demeanor finally falling away.
"I need to invite the Royal Guard captain down here, and spar with him now. If you want to stop by and show us more at any point, I will be sure to make time for you, Albert."
"Will do. But first I need to go see about some things,"
Albert said, as the quest pop-up flashed before his eyes. Quest completed. Teach the guard. Receive increased reputation with the guards of Stormguard. Bonus reward. You are now liked by Captain Roberto, the guard trainer. Roberto offered him a cup of water.
"Anything specific?"
Albert dug the damaged book out of his bag.
"Know anyone who might want to buy this?"
Roberto took it and flipped it open, his eyes growing wide.
"Justice smiles upon you. This book will fetch a good price with the right people,
even damaged as it is. I would suggest you take it to the Royal Auction House.
He closed the book and handed it back, looking at Albert with pursed lips.
I won't ask where you got it from, but I wouldn't show it around.
Chuckling, Albert stood up.
I found it in a ruin, and thought it might be worth at least a few coins. Well, I'm off to get some new clothes with Madame Theron's coin first, as I doubt the Royal Auction House will deal with me in my present state.
Shaking his head, Roberto walked him to the gate.
You are right there, Albert. Take care, and may the rest of the day shine down justice's light upon you.
Oh, just one more quick question, Albert asked before Roberto could leave.
Which way to a tailor?
Later, Albert found the shop with needle and thread emblazoned above it. Walking in, he was greeted by the smell of cedar. A young woman sat behind the counter, smiling as the door opened, her smile faltering when she saw him.
Can I help you, sir?
Albert chuckled.
I do hope so. Captain Roberto said you would be able to assist me with a new set of clothing.
I do have some coin, fear not. My current dress is not indicative of my financial standing. Her lips pursed slightly at Roberto's name. With a nod, she stood up.
What exactly are you looking for?
Truthfully, everything. I have only these old boots and this tattered robe to my name. So I will leave myself in your capable hands as to what you think I should be wearing.
He pulled the large silver coin he'd gotten from old Lady Theron from his bag.
I hope this will cover the costs.
Her smile bloomed as she took the coin from him.
Yes, it will indeed, my lord. Let me grab my measure, and we will get this done quickly. I have a few items that I can alter. We can have you in better clothes inside the hour.
She darted behind the counter and came back with measuring rope.
Please stand with your back straight and your arms out.
Albert did as requested for the next few minutes as she took his measurements. She stood back up after having taken his inseam.
All right. I can have you in a robe in a matter of minutes, or a shirt and trousers in a little over half an hour. You could also wear a pair of slippers inside those boots if you want. It is normal to wear cloth under all kinds of armor.
I'm used to a shirt and pants, truth be told. So let's do that, and I will gladly take a set of slippers as well,
Albert said as she led him over to a chair in the corner.
I shall get started at once. Please relax here. I shall send my son out with a cup of tea for you,
she said before she darted into the back. Albert wondered just how badly he was about to get fleeced here, but shrugged. It had been found money, after all. A few minutes later, a boy of about 8 came out with a cup of tea on a saucer.
Mum said this is for you, mister.
Albert accepted the tea and sipped it as the child stared at him.
Are you a vagrant, mister?
Almost spitting the tea out, Albert managed to swallow it but coughed.
Not as such, no. I am an adventurer, and just recently got to the city after a very long and dangerous task. I'm here to make sure people stop thinking I'm a vagrant.
His stomach growled, reminding him that he needed to eat soon. Shrugging, he pulled the aged meat from his bag and tore a chunk off.
Cool, mister. This stuff looks ancient. You sure it's safe?
The kid asked with wide eyes.
Not at all. But what is life without some danger, eh?
Albert said as he sipped some tea, hoping it would help moisten the meat so he could actually start to chew it. The kid backed up, shaking his head.
I think you're loony.
The boy darted into the back, away from Albert. With nothing else to do, Albert kept eating, finishing the meat just as the tailor came back out with his items.
Here you are, sir. Trousers, shirt, and slippers. Is there anything else you need?
A long cloak, if that is still within the budget, please,
Albert said with a pleasant smile. She darted into the back and came out with a gray long cloak.
Here you are then, sir.
Albert nodded his thanks. Do you happen to have a room where I can get changed? Smiling, she walked him over to a curtained alcove.
If there is any problem, just let me know, my lord.
Albert changed into the new clothing and felt better immediately about how he looked. He stuffed the robe into his bag as he exited the changing area.
I feel so much better now, he said with a smile at the tailor.
Thank you, Miss... Dimpling, the tailor gave him a curtsy.
Margaret Wilson is my humble name, sir.
Albert paused. I think I'm missing something. Either that simple silver coin is worth a hell of a lot more than I thought, or it isn't currency as such. Margaret looked at him puzzled.
It is a noble's marker coin, sir. It is emblazoned with Lady Theron's sigil, meaning she will cover all costs at the store you give it to.
Covering his face with a hand, Alberic chuckled.
Ah, oh, she fooled me right well. If that's the case, I think turnabout is fair play indeed.
I would like to commission a new full set of clothing from you then, as well as a money pouch and a belt to hang it on. Looking puzzled, Margaret pursed her lips.
You didn't know what the coin was for? Why did Lady Theron give it to you?
I stopped a thief from taking her money pouch. She wanted to give me coin, but I turned her down. So she insisted on giving me that silver coin.
He shrugged.
It seems like she outwitted me. I had thought it might be worth a bit more than a normal silver was all.
A soft chuckle escaped Margaret.
Oh, I see now. I will be glad to make you a whole outfit from scratch, sir. I can get you a belt and money pouch right now if you would like.
Please, he said, which sent her dashing into the back room briefly once more.
Thank you. How long does a new outfit normally take? He put on the belt, attaching the money pouch and dagger to it.
I can have it done by tomorrow if you want simple, or a week if you want grand, Margaret said.
Take your time, then. I shall return in a week to pick it up.
Alberic gave her a small bow. Thank you for this fine clothing. I look forward to seeing what magic you've worked when I return. Margaret walked him to the door with a laugh.
I wish you a pleasant day, sir.
Oh, he said, feeling a right ass. My name is Alberic.
I wish you a pleasant day, Alberic, she replied.
Walking away from the tailors, he started in the direction Roberto had told him the royal auction lay in. Eventually, he reached a gaudy building fronted with fluted, elaborately carved columns. Shaking his head, he noted the sign declaring it his intended destination. He walked through the main door and paused at the very richly appointed lobby. A man in silks hurried over to him, as Alberic stood there taking in all the gold leaf and silk.
May I help you, sir?
The man's voice dripped with distaste as he looked Alberic up and down. Pulling the book from his bag, Alberic turned his eyes to the painfully thin silk-clad man.
I was told this was the place to bring such an item, to be sold to the right people.
He held the book out. His head held high, and with a sniff of dismissal, the curator took the book, opening it to the title page. Alberic was watching carefully, but still almost missed the reaction.
Yes, this book might fetch a few coins here. I would be willing to spare you the time and hassle by buying it outright from you right now for 5 gold.
Blinking, Alberic was mildly stunned, not expecting gold right up front. He shook his head sadly, though.
Not going to happen. Nice try to all but steal the book, though.
He watched the man react as if he had been slapped.
I want to put it up for auction as is, with a conservative reserve to make sure it fetches what it should.
I see,
the man said, eyeing Alberic with narrow eyes.
What makes you think it's worth more than my offer?
The Forgotten Prison is a legend of the First Empire, is it not?
Alberic bluffed, not even knowing if he was telling the truth or not. Sighing, the curator turned.
Follow me, please.
Albert followed along behind the man and was led into an office. Behind the desk sat a man who looked to be in his prime, even with the stark white hair. The curator motioned him to a seat as he set the book before the seated man and whispered to him. The white-haired man raised his eyebrows, chuckling before he dismissed the first man.
"Welcome to the Royal Auction House. Would you care for a drink?"
"I'm good for the moment, but thank you.
I am Alberet. What might your name be?"
"I am the curator of this place. My name is Vladimir, and it is a pleasure to meet you. Do you mind if I look this book over before we talk business?"
"Considering the other man already did, be my guest," Alberet said indifferently. Vladimir smiled, allowing Alberet to see the sharp canines he had.
"So kind,"
Vladimir said, before turning his attention to the book. He leafed slowly through the first 10 pages, then quickly skimmed the rest.
"I do believe this is an authentic edition of the book. Did you wish to sell it to us or put it up for auction?"
Pursing his lips for a moment, Alberet thought about it.
"I have had no dealings at this level before, Vladimir," Alberet said bluntly. "I'm an adventurer, and as such do not move in higher society. I would hear your advice on this matter."
Chuckling, Vladimir picked up his goblet and took a sip.
"Cautious, polite, and honest. My goodness, will wonders never cease? You have a decent chance of collecting a right bounty if you auction this book, but it will take some time for us to properly set up such an auction. That would leave you without the book or coin to spend while we did so. Your other option is to let me buy it from you myself. I promise you a very good price, but, alas, not as much as what you might get at auction."
"What would you do with the book if I sold it to you?"
"I would gift it to His Majesty King Tyre III during the upcoming ball."
Quest: sell or auction. Rewards: variable, depending on your actions. Alberet chewed his lip for a second.
"I do need coin at the moment, but I have a feeling that having you as an ally might be my best bet for later in life.
I agree to sell it to you, Vladimir, at a reasonable price, and to be viewed with kindness in the future."
Quest completed. Sell or auction. Receive. Become liked by Vladimir the Royal Auctioneer. Bonus: a unique item specific to your class, or gold. Laughing, Vladimir gave a bow of his head.
"Ah, so even two-souled adventurers think of alliances. This is good to know.
Have you established an account with the bank here?"
When Alberet shook his head, Vladimir sighed.
"I do not wish to hand over large amounts of coin. Would you be interested in a trade instead?"
"What kind of trade?"
"I will give you an item useful only to those who consort with demons, in exchange for this book. I know you might be interested, as the scent of brimstone hangs about you."
Alberet considered. "Can I see the item first?" Chuckling, Vladimir put a bag on his desk, then reached into it. He pulled out a set of dark red, soft leather boots, which he set on the desk.
"Examine these and tell me what you think."
Vladimir gave another sharp smile. Alberet did as he was asked and focused on the boots to see their stats. "Demon Lord's Boots. Unique scaling item. Part of the Demon Lord set. Armor 6 to feet, up to 100 depending on level. Stacks with demon skin. Agility 6, up to 100 depending on level. Wisdom 6, up to 100 depending on level. Indestructible. You and your minions can move at double speed when one of your minions is present. Become soulbound when equipped. Other parts of set. Robe, crown, gloves, pants, belt. 3 pieces bonus. Question mark, question mark, question mark. 6-piece bonus. Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Wow. Those are very interesting indeed, Alberic said softly.
Do we have a deal, then?
Do you have any more of this set?
Sadly, no, Vladimir said. I can give you directions to others of your kind, though, if you want. Maybe they have information on where other pieces might be.
Still not sure the boots by themselves are worth it, Alberic said, trying to bluff for more.
Vladimir met Alberic's eyes.
Your heart rate is giving you away. I will ask once more only. Then I will withdraw the offer.
Sighing, Alberic shrugged.
Fine, I'll take the boots. They're more use to me than a book is.
Glad to do business with you,
Vladimir said, as he pushed the boots across the desk. I shall mark your map so you can find your trainers.
Don't have a map, Alberic said as he put the boots on, feeling them size themselves to his feet.
That's not right. The third quest in the village should have rewarded you with the basic map,
Vladimir said with a frown. Laughing, Alberic shook his head.
Never seen the village. I came from an altogether different place.
Frown deepening, Vladimir stared at him, then blinked.
So I see. Very well. I will add in a map as part of the deal. Do you happen to have anything else of value to offer me?
Pulling the letter opener from his bag, Alberic placed it on the desk.
Got that from the same place as the book.
Vladimir frowned at the letter opener, which was covered in a thick layer of tarnish. He peered closely at it, then brought a jeweler's loop to his eye, studying it before sighing.
Where did you find these exactly?
Sorry, I promised not to tell, Alberic said with a smile. I would trade it to you for a bag like yours and a much better map.
Vladimir rubbed his temples.
A level 6 summoner shouldn't be able to have things like this. We have a deal. This letter opener for a bag and a map of excellent quality.
He pulled the bell pull next to him and his assistant opened the door.
Bring me a bag and map suitable for a high noble.
The assistant raised a brow before bowing and closing the door.
I think he doesn't like me, Alberic chuckled.
You are dressed as a commoner. Of course he doesn't. He barely tolerates the lesser nobles. He will like you quite soon, though, rest assured of that. While we wait, would you like a drink?
I'm good, actually, but thanks,
Alberic said, as he tucked the old boots into his bag. They sat in silence as Vladimir leafed through the book intently, until his assistant returned.
Ah, good,
Vladimir said, taking the items from his servant, then marking the map and handing them over to Alberic. Alberic blinked to see the bag had 100 slots, and would become soul-bound when he equipped it.
There you are. We have concluded our business. I wish you a pleasant day. And if you do come across any more items such as these, do bring them to me first.
Alberic slung the backpack over his shoulder as he stood up. He picked up the map, getting a pop-up asking if he wanted to soul-bind it. He selected yes and blinked as it vanished. Vladimir laughed a deep, booming laugh.
It is part of you now! Do you not know how maps work?
Alberic mentally asked for his map, and it appeared in his hand.
I get it now. Just wasn't expecting it.
He willed it away, and it vanished. I will, of course, bring anything of similar value to you first, Vladimir. Have a good day, and a wonderful night. As he exited to the street after the assistant showed him out, he found the sun waning. He checked his map and headed off to finally see his trainer with a jaunty whistle as he walked. The game was really picking up, even if he was a little more geared than he should be. He still needed to sell off the junk and see about a real weapon. After he found the trainer would be soon enough, he figured. He ended up back at the inn right next to the small cemetery. He frowned, as he had been sure this would be the necromancer hangout. Shaking his head, he went into the inn to find it fairly busy with people drinking and laughing. Raising a brow at the sheer number of